Book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, Acts chapter number 18. I believe it was last Sunday morning, we embarked on dealing with a couple in the Bible named Aquila and Priscilla. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach on that couple or point out anything about them. They probably have, I'm certain, but I just haven't heard it or heard of them. But anyway, we just look at this couple and see if we could learn some things. And of course, last Sunday morning when we started on this, we got hung up of things that we could see in this couple's life that could be great standards and suggestions for the people in our church, the young people in our church that are not married, and to learn some things there. And so that was the entirety of the service that was given to that. But I want to start reading in verse number 1. There's four New Testament books that record by name this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And that would be the book of Acts, the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, and also 2 Timothy. Four New Testament books mentions their name. And they're all mentioned in relation to the Apostle Paul and the ministry and serving the Lord together. Verse number 1 of chapter 18, the Bible said, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and come unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them." Paul was of the same craft as was Priscilla and Aquila. And that it goes on to show that their occupation was that they were tent makers. And verse number 4, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Let's just stop right there, because I want to read some other scripture, and we'll come back. We'll look at verse 18. Skip down to there. Verse 18 of chapter 18. This is the chapter in our Bible that mentions them and gives a lot of details about them. "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head and in cintura, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them," Priscilla and Aquila, "there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." Down to verse 26, the Bible said here, verse 25, we've got to read verse 24 with it, because that identifies who we're talking about. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." And so we find here another great thing that they did. Turn, if you will, now to Romans chapter 16. We're just refreshing our mind on these books that contain their name. It's a real short verse that contains their name, but it's a very important and meaningful verse. Romans 16, verse 3, Paul giving in this chapter some commendations and greetings and salutations, saluting people. Here he says in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." All right, turn if you will to 2 Timothy 4. Or no, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 16. We'll get it. 1 Corinthians 16. And their names appear in verse number 19 again. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Coming to the close of this book, Paul, again, as his pattern was, that when he would get ready to close up one of his epistles, that he would mention some people by name that were a specific blessing to him and a help to him in his ministry. And he identifies our couple of subject tonight, verse 19, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And so we have four New Testament books that record their names, and there's nothing, I don't know if you noted that as we went through, but not one time do we see a negative. Not one time does Paul speak a negative about this couple. Like, I mean, Paul didn't make up his report. If it was Demas, he said what it was. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. I mean, he didn't sugarcoat it. He just told it point blank the way it was. And so as he identifies Priscilla and Aquila, he never speaks anything negative. It's always in the light of a positive when he mentions their names. And I'm not going to go back and rehash or re-preach some of the things we've already covered. I just want to cover three basic things that stuck out to me about this couple. The first one that stuck out to me, and we kind of hit this one last Sunday, but is number one, their spiritual attachment to each other as a husband and wife and as a spouse, as spouses. I think we can learn some things from them when we see classically illustrated in their life the connection of marriage and ministry. I think that marriage is a spiritual thing. In fact, it was God's idea. God's the one that performed the first wedding. God created the first couple, Adam and Eve, and he joined them together. And so marriage is a spiritual thing. And when a person gets married, there ought to be a spiritual purpose involved. There ought to be spiritual plans involved. Amen. You don't marry just for companionship. You marry for a mission. You marry for a purpose. And that you, along with your spouse, can accomplish that purpose easier than you can by yourself. Two's better than one, the scripture said. So our first thing of notice is the attachment, the spiritual level that they were attached to each other. You don't find them anywhere in the scripture fighting and fussing and arguing and Aquila wanting to go one direction, Priscilla wanting to go a different direction, one wanting to do one thing, one wanting to do another. They were complementary to each other. And I don't want to get on this. I can't hardly deal with this without at least saying some things to our single young people. And I'm reminded of a young boy over in Jonesboro. I was getting ready to preach one night, and he sat down beside me on the front row, and he said to me, he asked me a question. He said, "Preacher, how will you know?" And you've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. He said, "How will you know when you've met the right one?" And I just instantly, and never had said it before, I've said it since, but I've never said it before. And I said, "Well, is she complicating your faith or is she complementing your faith?" And he hung his head and he said, "Well, she's complicating my faith." And I said, "Well, you got your answer. God's not going to send anybody in your life that's going to be a complication of you doing the will of God." Amen. It's going to be a compliment. It's going to be a compliment in your life. And so we find that Priscilla and Aquila were a team, side by side, yoked together in service. In fact, Paul uses that analogy of being yoked together. As you have oxen that are yoked together, meaning they're looking the same direction, they're pulling the same load, they're serving the same master, plowing the same field. Everything's together when they're yoked together. And I believe God wants that I believe we can learn some things by looking at being yoked together as a marriage. Are you willing to be yoked to that person for the rest of your life? Amen. How did that sound? How would you like that? If it's something that you would have problems with, you need to pray about it. You need to pray about it, because once you get in that yoke and you're trying to constantly pull in a different direction, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. So, but what I found out as I meditated upon this and looked at this, their attachment to each other, not just matrimonially attached to each other and physically attached to each other, but more importantly, they're attached to each other spiritually. There needs to be a spiritual connection between spouses, and to serve together, work together, labor together, and to go on and do the will of God. Amen. These are some things that stuck out to me that they both had. They both were saved. There's an indication of that everywhere you look. They were both saved, and when Paul comes to Corinth, where they originally first lived, when Paul first came there, they were already serving. They were already saved. We don't know who led them to the Lord. We don't know who led them to the Lord, how all of that came about. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it's suggestive there that they are already Christians. They've already been saved by the grace of God. Not only do I find that both of them are saved, but both of them are spiritual. Both of them have a spiritual life. Both of them are being influenced by and led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So they're both spiritual. Marriage was to be a blessing in the area of ministry and serving together. A third thing I noticed about them, they were separated. Both of them were separated from the world. So where do you get that at? When they moved to Corinth, and we all know the history or the reputation that Corinth has. Corinth is one of the most carnal, worldly, wicked, fleshly cities that there was in our Bible. I don't know why anybody would want to name their church Corinth. And down in South Carolina, I'd mentioned this before, but years ago, when I used to pastor down there, there was Corinth number one and Corinth number two. I never did find out what if that was a split or what, and they was real close together too. They was like right down the road from each other. I thought that was real odd, but I don't think I'd ever want to be a part of a church that bore that name. Why would anybody choose that name? Because both of those books are given to uncover and correct and rebuke the worldliness and the immaturity and all that was in their church and the division and sin that was in their church. So they moved to Corinth and then to Ephesus and then on to Rome, where wickedness and carnality was prevalent in all three of those places. But yet you do not find Aquila and Priscilla partaking in the surroundings. You never find them partaking in the wickedness of their location. And that spoke to my heart. I wrote this little thing down, and it spoke to my heart. Where they were never changed what they were. Amen. It didn't matter if it was Corinth, Ephesus, Rome. It didn't matter where it was. They were what they were everywhere they were. And boy, God help us to be like that, to be separated so that it doesn't matter who we're around, it doesn't matter where we are, it does not change us. One of the greatest things could ever be said about anybody, whether they're alive or at a time of their death, is that everywhere you've seen them, they were just the same. I think that's a great compliment, don't you? And so not only were they saved and spiritual and separated, and carnality has claimed many marriages. I've seen that in my own life and my own ministry. Listen to this. What is around you is not most dangerous. What is in you is what's most dangerous. You can be surrounded by, and we are in this world, but we're not to be of it. We're in this world and it's all around us. You can't go anywhere that there's not sin. You can look in any direction and find sin if you're just wanting to look at it. But again, where we are doesn't determine what we are. We are not defined by what's around us. Amen. Amen. If Lot would have so chose to, he could have lived for God even in Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have. If he'd have been spiritual, if he'd have been like Abraham, his uncle, he could have lived for God in that circumstance. Amen. If Enoch walked with God 300 years, and that were 300 years before the flood, and when wickedness was on a global scale like we've never seen, but yet here's one man identified by name that walked with God. Amen. Nobody else was. The whole world was given to sin and wickedness, but Enoch walked with God. I think we can learn some things from Priscilla and Aquila concerning being separated and living for the Lord. You don't always choose your circumstances, but you always choose your condition. Amen. What's going on around you may not be a matter of choice, and most of the time it's not. But how you respond to it, how you react to it, listen, your condition is always a matter of choice. I like that, don't you? And in light of Priscilla and Aquila, I wrote this down. You may not choose most things in life, but you do choose your companion. That's right. Amen. That's a good statement. But not only were they saved together, spiritual together, separated together, but they were also surrendered to God together. They made at least three different moves in their ministry with the Apostle Paul, which is suggestive to me that they were not controlled by convenience and comforts of life. If you've ever, how many has ever made a house move or a location move? I want to tell you right now, you don't realize how much junk you got till you start trying to load it up in a U-Haul. Say amen right there. I got tickled at my mother-in-law years ago. When I married my wife, they lived in a single wide there at Newport. And later on in years came and go, that they got rid of that and they bought a double wide. Now they lived in a single wide, but then when they started moving all of their stuff out and packing it up and getting ready for the double wide, which means double what they had, actually bigger than that, they didn't have nowhere to put nothing. And their question was, how in the world did we have all of this stuff in a single wide and we can't even get it in a double wide? Amen. You spend the first part of your life accumulating stuff. I've got to have this and that. And then you spend the latter end of your life trying to get rid of it, selling it in the yard sale for a quarter. Amen. Amen. Brother Ron, he's the specialist in Rogersville of getting these, what do you call those things, those rental storage units. They'll call him and he just goes and gets the what everybody else, they didn't even want to get it. They just left it and didn't even go back to check on it or anything. And then he goes and buys it and goes and sells it. That's why he's wealthy. I don't know how we got on all that out of Priscilla and Aquila, but that's the way you do when you meditate. But that's my story and sticking to it. But they moved three different times, but yet you never find them complaining. You never find them being upset because it's uncomfortable and that I liked where we were at and we should, you know, no, you find them willing. You find them available to make a move for the Lord. Amen? They were never stopped by sacrifices that were involved in God's will. So not only were they saved together, spiritual together, separated together, and surrendered together, and boy, I could have preached, I could have expanded on any of that. surrender together, but they're also serving together. Both were serving. They had ministry in common. Amen. What spiritual things do you have in common with your mate, with your spouse, if you've got one? What spiritual things do you have in common? Amen. Equally yoked together. So they were serving together. We'll say more about that in a little bit. Not only that, they knew the scriptures together. I read it to you there just a moment ago here in, I believe it's in chapter 18, it is, when they went and heard Apollos, which was an orator, a young orator, and was able to just hold a crowd mesmerized, spellbound by his ability to speak. But yet they, Aquila and Priscilla, called him aside, took them unto himself, verse 26, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That is, they knew the scripture. They weren't preaching. He wasn't a preacher. Aquila wasn't a preacher. But yet they knew the scriptures. If you want your marriage to be strong, there needs to be a dependence upon the scriptures, a study of the scriptures, a knowledge of the scriptures. Amen. So I think that was important to note, that these two knew the scriptures together. Second thing I want to cover tonight, and I'm moving on. Secondly, not only their attachment, their spiritual attachment to each other, but also I noticed number two, their attachment and loyalty to God's man as a couple. The Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 16, verse number 3, 4, and 5. The Bible said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers." Now think about Paul saying that. Do you think that's a positive? Do you think that's an encouragement? Do you think that's a great thing that the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher we know of in our in the Gentile world, he was a Jew that brought the gospel to the Gentiles, for him to say, "These are my helpers." Well, that's a great commendation, isn't it? And so he tells them that this is Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. But he makes another statement in verse 4 that's worth noting of Romans 16, verse number 4. Not only were they my helpers in Christ, but who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, I don't know what you think that means, but that shows right there that they were so identified with the Apostle Paul, that whoever didn't like him didn't like them, and they laid down their necks for him. They for my life, he said, for my life, they laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So there's other churches that knew of them and commended them. So there is a connection here between Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Priscilla and Aquila. He calls them their helpers, his helpers. I looked that up. That means co-laborers. They were co-laborers. Means champions in labor. Fellow laborers. Fellow helpers. Fellow workers. Also means work fellow. So Paul is pointing out and giving a commendation that as a man of God, Priscilla and Aquila was my helpers and for my life. It seemed like there's an element of defense, that they even defended the Apostle Paul to the point of willing to take the blow, willing to take the punishment, willing to take whatever was coming toward God's man. They were willing to do that. So not only were they connected together, they were connected to God's man. Amen. They were identifying with God's man. And I think that's a good thing. My daddy raised us to be like that. My daddy and mom stood with God's man when nobody else did. Even against relatives, even against brothers, sisters, mamas, daddies, cousins, people you live in the same community with. And so, but well, I've seen mom and dad stand with God's man. And I believe about the last time I ever went to see my pastor, he's got dementia pretty bad now. But he told me, he said, your daddy, talking about my daddy, he said, your daddy stood with me when nobody else would. He said, oftentimes, and I didn't know this till he told me, daddy never did tell me or anything, but he said when they would go out the door at church, he said a lot of times my daddy would take and just put some money in his pocket just to help out and be a blessing. Amen. That's good, ain't it? And so I'm thankful for that example that I've had. Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth 18 months, a year and a half. That's a long term, isn't it? So they fed him. Hint, hint. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. They fed him. They took care of him. So he stayed with them. No doubt there was a great closeness there. This couple was a blessing to God's man rather than a burden. And boy, I want to tell you, that right there may just seem like a simple statement. But coming from a pastor, that is meaningful. That is so meaningful right there when a pastor can say something positive in your behalf. And according to Hebrews chapter 13, there's going to come a day when those that have been appointed over you as an overseer is going to give an account for you. For they watch for your soul, and they're going to give an account. And the Bible said, make sure that they do that with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Amen. And so we find that they were closely connected to the Apostle Paul. And we could say quite a bit in behalf of that. But let's move on. I want to move on and deal with the last one. Not only do I see Aquila and Priscilla as they are connected spiritually to each other and the things related to that, but secondly, we notice their connection to God's man. Amen. You're to teach. You're to prepare yourself and teach your family, your children, to that your pastor is not your enemy. Your pastor is your best friend. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? May not appear that way sometimes. But I cannot just say it in the second person. I say it in the first person. I am your friend. And as I said this morning, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't care what you done. But I wouldn't be here if I had that attitude. Say amen right there. But the attachment that they had not only to themselves and to God's man, but thirdly and last, the attachment that they had to the house of God. Romans 16, verse 3 through 5, I'll not reread that, but it talks about the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Verse Corinthians 16, 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, I'm going to pause right there just a minute. We've had people in our church years and years ago that they believed these verses supported home church, house church. Don't go to church. Don't go to a local assembly. Have church in your house. And they would use these verses. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's an error to believe that. The reason that they were having church in their home is that there wasn't a church, and the church at Ephesus and the church of Rome was started in their home. God is not wanting you, if there is a local church to attend that's biblical and right, it is not God's will for you to practice the home church type thing. Stay at home instead of go assemble yourself with God's people. Amen. And so we find that when he says that it identifies the church that's in their home. What about that? Aquila's not a preacher. And Priscilla, both of them, they're just a married couple that's hooked up with the Apostle Paul, and they're serving the Lord, and following Paul from place to place and just doing the will of God, the church at Ephesus was started in their home. What about that? One of the greatest churches in our New Testament started in their home. The church at Rome was started in their home. And they weren't even a preacher. God wants to use common people. God wants to use anybody that'll surrender and give themselves to the Lord. For all practical purposes, they were just lay people. They were just lay people. They didn't hold any positions. We don't find where they sung a song, taught a Sunday school lesson. We don't find where they preached. We don't find any of that. But yet God used them to start churches, no doubt, with the assistance of the Apostle Paul, probably, without a doubt. But I think it's worth noting that Aquila and Priscilla had a great bond to a local church. Now listen to some of these little practical things the Lord give me in light of that. Their church was in their home, and their home was in their church. Think about the spiritual applications there. You couldn't separate their home life from their church life. Ain't that good? They never left their home life to go to their church life. And they never had to leave their church life behind to go to their home life. I don't believe God wants that to be separated as we have separated it in our day. Amen. I don't know about you, but church is a vital part of my life. In fact, pretty much it is my life. Amen. When I'm at home, church is my life. When I'm at church, it's my life. And I believe God wants our homes and our churches to be so together in unity that your church life can be seen at your home life. And your home life can be seen in the church life. Don't you think that would be good? Here's some other things I wrote down. This is just a simple little statement. They had church in their home. Where many people has church in their home? That's good. Their church was the same as their home, and their home was the same as their church. Church was a life to them, not a location. I like that. And they that saluted the church of Corinth along with the church that was in their house. Unto whom, verse number 4 of Romans 16, the Bible said there, unto whom, listen to this, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Now we don't know if they had a part in those churches being started, it indicates that. But you can agree with me tonight that Priscilla and Aquila had a great connection, not only with each other, secondly with God's man, but thirdly with God's house, God's church. And we need that in our day. We need all three of those. We need closeness together, spousal spirituality, and then there needs to be a connection to God's man. Every family needs a pastor. Every family. And I've told this before. I've told this before to hear. I said, I've told families and daddies and mamas and daddies, I have never wanting to parent your children. That's your job. But I want to pastor your children. And that would be in a teamwork with parents. Amen. I don't want to preach anything, stand on anything that would contradict biblically what you're supposed to have in your home as a parent. And you should have that attitude. You should not want anything in your home that would contradict anything that we have here at the church as a pastor. Amen. So we look at just some simple truths there about the Aquila and Priscilla, how they were connected to each other, spiritually connected, serving, doing something, accomplishing something for the Lord. When Paul left them at Ephesus, they didn't even know what for. They didn't even know the plan of God at that point. But they were willing to be led, and they were willing to be faithful. They were willing to be loyal. One other thing you could say about them, I just thought of this, they were tent makers. And in other words, that was their income. But when they made a move, they would go from one place to another place. They didn't let their job at the previous place restrict them from making a move in the will of God. Amen. When I got saved and surrendered to preach, I was a welder in Hendersonville, bare sheet metal. And when I went to my boss, Roger, and I told him, I said, God has saved me. Of course, he already knew that. And I said, and God's called me to preach. And I said, and God wants me to go to Bible college, which meant I had to step away from that job. Good, back then, good paying job. Especially one that was still living at home. Say amen, Blake. Because I was still living at home myself, and I was making good money and paying no rent. Maybe I'm reaping. I don't know. But so I did that in the light of one thing. I didn't want to be hindered in what I felt like God wanted me to do, even with a job situation. And so what I did was I went and signed up and all of that at Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina. Took that Toyota four-wheel drive redneck truck. Big tires, jacked up, four-cylinder. Wing, 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 wing. And I went and traded it on a four-door Chrysler LeBaron. Now, buddy, is that not a change? You got to be saved to do that. You need to be saved if you do that. Step away from a Toyota to a Chrysler? Lord have mercy, what was I thinking? All I knew was I needed rid of that truck because it had all of the memories of my past life and I had to get rid of that thing. I didn't even want people to see me coming through town driving the same vehicle that I used to drive as a lost man. I didn't even want that identity. So I got that four-door Chrysler to bear. Burgundy, I believe it had a 318 in it. And I got that thing because it had a four-door, it was a four-door. And so I could haul people to church and stuff. Well, I started the first year to Bible college by myself. And the next year I had a whole car full. I don't know if I'm trying to remember if they helped me on gas or not. I can't remember that part. But here's what I did, Brother Carroll. I didn't want nothing to hinder me doing the will of God. That was going to be my life and still is. I don't care what it is. I don't want nothing to hinder me. I don't want nothing in the way. I don't want no baggage. I don't want no burdens. I don't want nothing that's going to hold me back or weigh me down. And so there was a fellow in our church, Brother Boyd Earl, and he had a cabinet shop. He had a cabinet shop and wasn't commercial. It was residential. And so I went to work with him because he was going to our church. So he worked with us, or with me. If I needed to be off to go preach, if I needed to get off a certain time to be able to go to Tabernacle or whatever, he worked with me. I didn't make much money, but it was enough. Pointing out all of that, I've made decisions all along. I'm not going to let where I'm at, what I have, my obligations and my ties to things here keep me from making a move. When I left, this is speeding way up, fast forward. When I left Enoch Baptist Church and resigned there, and then the Lord worked it all out for me to come here, I wasn't making enough money to pay attention. I couldn't buy a piece of bubble gum hardly. And that's no kid. You ought to saw the contraptions I drove. I mean, it was awful. We didn't have no money. We was broke as Job's turkey, amen, whatever Job's turkey was. I don't know. He was so broke, I don't even know what he, I don't know nothing about Job's turkey. Probably reason. But I didn't, that wasn't our main thing. Our main thing was to serve God. That little old small house that I'd bought, paid $18,000 for my first house. It was old, had people fall through the floor. Brother Ronnie Simpson's daughter, Gwen, they came by to see us one time and she fell through the bathroom floor, literally. It was just an old mill house kind of thing. But it was home. It was our home. And it was so cold inside in the wintertime that you could see your breath. There was ice on the inside of the window. Say amen right there. I mean, we had to wear clothes sort of like now. I mean, we had to wear insulated clothes in the summertime just about it. Ain't that right, Blake? Me, Blake, and the dogs freezing to death. Mama, I'm glad she's not going to have access to a thermostat in heaven because it would be a winter wonderland, more than likely. She's probably watching, hey? But we made a move up here, and Brother Carroll's daddy. There wasn't no way that I could make a move from down there to up here. We still owed for that house down there, and we just was in a mess financially. And so Brother Carroll's daddy allowed me to, because I told him, I said, and I didn't want to get in debt and all that stuff, I said, I can't buy a house here until I sell my house in South Carolina. And that house I paid $18,000 for and done some work to it. I sold it for $36,000. You can't even buy a car for $36,000 now. But anyway, Brother Carroll's daddy let me go ahead and sign the papers and move in over here where I live, just on a promise that when I sell my house, then we can do the finalizing of this deal. And they trusted me and let me do it. And God let me sell that house, and of course I've been here ever since. But I've never wanted to make a move to where something's going to hinder me from serving the Lord. Amen. And that's the way Quill and Priscilla was. They were so devoted to wanting to do the will of God that they were willing to move. They were willing to go. They were willing to do. Now, of course, we're preaching now. We're just preaching about Quill and Priscilla. We're not talking about any of you young people getting married and moving. Can I get a witness right there, parents? Because your daddy and your pastor is going to have a counseling session with them. So anyway, that'll go good, I'm sure. But I hope we can learn some things with Priscilla and Aquila. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for this good service tonight. And just, Lord, just your blessings on us. God, you've been good to us. Lord, we pray that you'll help us this coming week to honor you with our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that people are watching our lives. Help us, Lord, to these people that are in the Bible, these couples that are in the Bible, individuals that are in the Bible, they're in there for a purpose. These things are written for our learning and our admonition. We can look at their mistakes and learn from that. We can learn from their commendations. When we see Paul the apostle commending Priscilla and Aquila and they're being... them being helpers and co-laborers and fellow workers with the Apostle Paul in the ministry. And I believe, as we said earlier, last Sunday, I believe it was, we made mention that the Apostle Paul is the one that brought the gospel to us, for which we are thankful. But if Priscilla and Aquila was his helper, and they laid down their necks for his life, that, Lord, really, we probably could give some credit even to you working in them to be able for us to have the gospel today. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul. He had helpers. That's why when he come to the end of 1 Corinthians, end of Romans, and the end of other passages in Timothy, he mentions people's names that helped him. And, Lord, I pray that you'll help us together to learn some principles about having a spiritual connection together, a spiritual connection to God's man, a spiritual connection to the church. Lord, I pray you'll help the families here to raise up their children, to love the house of God, that the church place is not just a location they go to, but it's a life they live. And I believe we have several that's true in their life. Lord, help us to stay on course. Lord, help us to stay in the will of God. Help us, Lord, to be servants of the Most High. Lord, the young people of our church that are not married, please help them. Lord, help them to be the right one as they are looking for the right one. Help the young people here, Lord, to be spiritual and love the Lord and set some biblical boundaries in their life of what they will and will not do. Lord, help them to set some biblical standards in their life as to what they are looking for in a mate. Lord, I pray your will to be done. Help us, Lord. We sure love you. Lord, I thank you for the journey. Thank you for the journey that you've let us be on now for 39 years. It's not always been easy, but it's not always been tough either. There's been some bad, but there's been some good. Blessings and burdens. Mountaintops and valleys. But Lord, I can say tonight that through it all, you've been good. Through it all, Lord, you've been faithful. And I praise you. I can trust you. We can trust you. Priscilla and Aquila found out that they can trust you no matter where their location is, no matter what's going on. They could trust you. And Lord, I want to thank you for them being an example to us. Lord, I pray you'd give us a good week. Lord, may it be a beneficial week, a spiritual week. May it be a week that we accomplish something for your glory. Lord, please keep your hand upon our church. Lord, please help us to, as a church family, that we'd focus on that and we'd fight for that and pray about that and always try to keep our own life in adjustment to where we're not a hindrance but a help. Lord, I pray, dear Father, that your will would be done. If your will's done, Lord, then you're pleased, you're honored. And Lord, our purpose is fulfilled. Have your will, Lord, in your way. Deal with those in our midst tonight that are not saved. Lord, deal with their heart. Not just here at church, but deal with them at home. Show them the urgency of getting saved. And Lord, I hope the burden of the message this morning about being an intercessor, getting help from God for other people, Lord, would have challenged us in the area of prayer to pray, Lord, for the lost of our church and the lost that comes here on a regular basis. God, you deal with their heart. Lord, I'd like to see some folk get saved. Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with just praying for them. Help us, Lord, to have the fortitude that Priscilla and Aquila had, that in spite of the hardships of life, they kept right on serving and doing the will of God. And they never let their job, their financial obligations get in the way of them serving the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be surrendered to you, because we'll be glad we did when we face you one day. Thank you, Lord, again for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight, today. Have your way. Touch those of our church that are sick and struggling, having hard times in various areas. We pray for them. Lord, that you'll minister to them and touch them. Touch Brother Ben McWilliams. Lord, we pray you'd heal him and help him as he's preparing for surgery. Lord, we pray for Brother Fultz and Miss Patsy concerning their knees and the situations there. Miss Sandra, Lord, that you would help her. Miss Jones, Brother Brian.
Lord, we pray, Lord, for Miss Shannon and Brother Matt. Lord, you'd minister to them. Hope's grandma. Lord, I pray about that, Lord. Pray for Miss Donna Armstrong. Lord, we pray continually, Lord, for Miss Nikki and Miss Candace. Lord, you continue to help them and minister to them. Lord, physically, thank you, Lord, for touching Brother Klepper, allowing him to be able to be back with us. Thank you, Lord, for the measure of health, Lord, that you've granted him. And we pray, Lord, you'll continue to bless him with that and add to that. Lord, you know the needs, dear Father, and we pray that you will help us as a church family to pray one for another. We pray for Miss Stephanie and Brother Stephen, Lord, that you'll minister to them and the physical issues that they face and the upcoming things that they're confronted with. We'd ask, Lord, you'd grant wisdom and that you would help them. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors, intercessors that makes a difference. Lord, I pray that we will not have the splits and splinters and cliques and things that would divide a church family, but I pray you'd help us to be together and pray together and pray one for another. And Lord, to make it our business, each one of us, to pray for our church family regularly. Make mention of them, everyone, in our prayers. Lord, to say and call out the names of the young people, the kids that are not saved, that, Lord, you would save them. Help us to get serious about that, burdened about that. And, Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you. Give me wisdom as a preacher. Give me wisdom, Lord, to try to lead this flock and to honor you with that. Prepare us for the upcoming ministries of outreach, that, Lord, you would have your way, and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.